Our psalm is 147, verse 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Amen.
New Testament scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. This is Paul speaking. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. Excuse me. If I do this of my own will, I have a wage, but if not of my own will, I'm entrusted with a commission. And what then is my wage? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I've made myself a slave to all, so that I might gain all the more. To the Jews, I become as a Jew, in order to gain Jews. To those under the law, as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those that are under the law. To those outside the law, I become as one outside the law, although I'm not outside God's law, but I am within Christ's law, so that I might gain those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Paul boasts that he has become all things to all people. And that's not a phrase that we use as a positive thing when somebody says that. And what he means is for Jews, he meets, to those thinking that salvation still comes from following every code in the first five books of the Bible, he blends in with them and becomes like them. To the Gentiles he meets, who don't live by that law, Paul becomes like them, although they don't know it. He's under a different law, the law of Jesus Christ. If he's around weak people, he emphasizes his weakness. He claims to his readers in Corinth, I've become all things to all people. Is Paul a shapeshifter here? You know, shapeshifters, those mythical creatures. It goes all the way back to the Greeks. You know, these are creatures that can go from being a human back to an animal or to a plant and back and forth. Or if you prefer horror movies, is Paul a vampire or a werewolf? Or if you're like me, as a kid you enjoyed comic books with superheroes in them, is Paul like Clark Kent, seemingly meek and mild, taking off his glasses and becoming Superman? Does he whirl in a circle like Wonder Woman and become a superhero? Is he like the Incredible Hulk and you don't want to meet him when he's angry? Or is Paul something worse not a shapeshifter, not a superhero, but a phony, a glad-hander, a kiss-up. At least a shapeshifter can't help itself. A shapeshifter is its own kind of creature in mythology. It can't help but be whatever it is right now. At least a superhero has a mission. He or she changes appearance to fight injustice. God forbid. Is Paul one of those people, and you've probably met them, who'll be exactly what you want them to be at that any given moment, and they have no sense of integrity? Is Paul a glad hander? Is he trying to work people to make himself rich and famous and become something big in this world by being different with everybody? You know, in college, I knew a guy who seemed to me that way. And he became quite popular, but I felt like I was seeing through him. And don't try this at home, folks. I shouldn't have done this. I told somebody what I thought about him. And I think word got around. And it wasn't just because of me. I think maybe others thought the same way. As I think about him now, I think he really liked to work hard. I think it was really hard work to try to be all things to all people, to appear one way before one set of people, then go to another group and appear another way, and just wear himself out, going from place to place, being different every time, trying to keep track of everything he'd said. The more I think about it, how exhausting. What a worker he was. And in fact, I think somebody else might have had the same impression of him. I was watching an intramural basketball game with him playing. And they had made a custom, his friends had made a custom jersey for him. The bull worker is what they called him on the back of his head. He was full of bull, I said. Bull worker. Well, it's not easy trying to please everyone, is it? You can't. It just can't be done, but Paul worked very hard at it. And like all human beings, though, he had his own unique personality that he could use. And that's really what I think Paul was up to. He certainly was not trying to make himself rich or famous, because if that was his goal, he failed miserably in that effort. No one knows exactly how he died, but as far as we know, he ended up in Rome and he was executed for the things he said. He did not make himself rich. He is famous, but he did not make himself successful in worldly terms by the way he acted. Paul had a mission, like a superhero has a mission. First of all, Paul indeed was a Jew. He was raised as such. And in Acts 23, you can see how this works in his life. He's in a room full of Jews in Acts 23. And the text says, when Paul noticed that some were Sadducees and others were Pharisees, he called out to the council, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees, and I'm on trial concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead." And when he said this, a dissension began between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly became divided. The Sadducees, little aside, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection or angel or spirit. But the Pharisees believe in all three. Then a great clamor arose, and certain scribes of the Pharisees group stood up and contended, "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, fearing that they would tear Paul to pieces, ordered that the soldiers to go down, take him by force, bring him into the barracks. What do you think? Is that what a shapeshifter does? Is that what a glad-hander does? Is that what a kiss-up does? If so, he was not doing a very good job at it. He gets himself arrested. and look at the uproar he caused. But there's a difference between Paul and a glad-hander. Paul has a purpose. The text goes on to say that God favors what Paul is doing. It says, "That night, the Lord stood near him and said, 'Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome.'" And that became his mission all the way through his career. His goal. He went to all these different places, but his goal was to end up in Rome and appear before the emperor and tell the emperor about Jesus. That was his goal. That was his whole life mission and purpose. The end of Acts says he got there, and legend is that he died there, martyred. It's not recorded whether he got to make his appeal to the emperor or not. But the Lord appeared to him and said, "Keep on doing it. This is your mission. Keep on doing this." Emphasizing the parts of your personality that are one way when necessary to try to make a point. And this was not Paul's first encounter with the Lord. Paul had seen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and that changed his life. And after that point, Paul used every aspect of his personality to fulfill one mission in his life, the one that God had given him, and that was to tell everybody that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he had died for our sins, that he had been risen from the dead, and that if we have faith in him, we can have eternal life. And he just kept up that message, and he encouraged people to take up their cross and follow him, and then in turn, stop serving our own agendas and start serving God's agenda for the advancement of God's kingdom. So, Pastor, are you saying I got to do that? I mean, that was fine for Paul and everything, to use everything he had towards the kingdom of God. Is that my job too? Yeah. I know that's not what you want to hear. Don't accuse me of being a glad-hander. It's not what you want to hear, but it's the truth. Everything you have belongs to God. It all came from God. It's all going back to God. That's what your purpose is here. And it's going to take a million different ways, like your different personalities. You have so many aspects to you that are unique, and all of them are sacred and interesting. You know, be that interesting person that you are to the service of God, and the world will change. Pastor, are you asking me to be perfect? Well, if I were to do so, I think I'd have to become perfect myself. Has not happened yet. How can I do anything? Just me. How can I do anything to advance the kingdom of God? Somebody really wise, I wish I could remember who it was. Somebody, early in my ministry, said to me, "Nothing is wasted, not even your mistakes." And that just blows me away to think that every stupid thing I've ever done could be used by God for the building up of God's kingdom. And Paul is a good example. Early in his career, he's putting Christians to death. I was never that bad. I mean, I put people to sleep, but I've never put them to death. And being so violent, that is the trademark of a weak person. If you don't like something, just kill it. You know, that's the kind of weakness that we have to avoid in this world. But that's where he was. That's what he thought about Christians. He didn't like the movement, so he thought, let's just kill them and try to weed this out. But God found a way to take this previously weak man and use him to get all the way to Rome so that the emperor could hear it. And you know, one of the branches of the church right now is based in where? Rome. So in a sense, he got there. Even if he never lived to see it, he got there to Rome. I submit all this to just say that everything, including our weaknesses, can be used to serve. Paul was willing to do this, and because of that, we're all here today. Most of us aren't Jews. Most of us are Gentiles, I believe. I believe that I am. I don't know my history all the way back, but I'm a Gentile, and yet I'm a believer because of Paul. If it wasn't for Paul, we would not be here, and we would not be talking about Jesus. We don't know the five books of the law that well. A good group of people have read those five books and didn't find it very satisfying, I would say. Is that fair to say? It's tough to read. It's a tough read, but thank you for those of you who have plowed through that with me. And maybe we haven't mastered those five books of the law, but you know, we belong to the family of God. And that's happened for us because of the ministry of Paul, because of the leadership of Jesus Christ. All thanks to a shape-shifting, glad-handing, weak superhero.